This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Cowbell Country. You're watching us all on YouTube, on Facebook, and Twitter. Hanging out with our friend Jacob Bain as we're going to be breaking down Mississippi State football. As SEC Media Days is a week away, next week we will be in Dallas covering SEC Media Days, getting all excited about the upcoming SEC season. And next week we're going to be on the 17th, we're going to be hanging out with three Mississippi State football players. Hopefully we'll get a chance to speak to them real quick. That'd be great. But we will definitely be in the room in Dallas. You guys are checking us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on Amazon. You can always find us on Cowbell Corner or Mississippi State on SI. You can find us right there. We're joined by our friend Jacob Bain, helping us find out about these three guys, Albert Reese, John Lewis, and Blake Shapen, the three representatives, Mississippi State representatives, for SEC Media Days. Jacob, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Just counting down the days to Media Days so I can be busy again. How about yourself?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. It's still kind of in the lull period, and this is the period where it takes a little creativity to get through June and July, but if we can get to next week, Jacob, it will be downhill and rolling. So you hanging in there for one more week, man?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there for one more week, and a couple weeks out of that would be fall practice, and then if we know it'll be season, so ready for that.
Well, I'm looking forward to, and I haven't talked to you about this quite yet, but I'm going to ask you your opinion right here. When the season gets rolling, I want to have you on Mondays and then on Thursday or Fridays. I want to be doing double time with Mississippi State, with Missouri, with all our college sites. So I want to be breaking down the game that was, and then on the Thursday-Friday edition, I want to be previewing the game that is to come. Does that sound like a decent plan for the fall?
I'm so sorry. Somebody just tried to call me. Can you repeat that again?
Well, tell them that they should call you right now. I'm just laying out a plan, a hypothetical plan for the fall. How about on the fall? We're only doing this once a week right now on Cowbell Corner. But how about in the fall, we try to do it on Mondays, breaking down the game that was, and then on Thursday, Fridays, breaking down the game that is to come. We'll do it twice a week in the fall. How about that?
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Sorry, I'm a little flustered by the phone call. I couldn't hear you there for a second. But, yeah, it sounds good to me, and looking forward to being on here twice in the fall.
Well, I think that sounds like a decent plan. We got to give the listeners, got to give the people what they want, and they're going to want to find out about the games on Monday, what happened on the Saturday, and then they're going to want to have a nice little preview as they're driving to Starkville and all over the place to follow the Bulldogs. But right now they're getting ready, all the Mississippi State fans, and a lot of the SEC fans are getting ready to drive to Dallas. yesterday, the SEC as a whole, which I thought was a really good idea. I thought it was a really nice presentation. The SEC as a whole announced all three players for all 16 now, 16 SEC teams. All three players are going to be in Dallas for SEC Media Days. On the 17th is Mississippi State Day. Jeff Lebby obviously was going, and we're looking forward to hearing from Jeff Lebby. But Jeff Lebby tapped three players: Albert Reese, the fourth offensive lineman, Blake Shapen, quarterback, and John Lewis, a linebacker. So two offensive players and one defensive guy. You got that list yesterday, and your initial thought was what?
Well, I was happy that he selected Blake Shapen. He didn't speak to the media any during spring practice, which that might be. Some coaches don't let their quarterbacks really speak to the media much, so maybe that's it. But I was happy to see Shapen there. And honestly, besides Shapen, I think we talked about it last week, I honestly had no idea who else he would pick besides Shapen. But he goes with Albert Reese. He's a guy who hadn't played very much, but he's a veteran. He's been here two or three years. And same with John Lewis, guy who hasn't played just a whole lot, has a lot of upside, but he's been at Mississippi State for a while. And in the transfer portal day, it gets harder and harder to select guys to go to media days because you want to have guys that have been on campus for a little bit. But sometimes it's kind of hard to pick guys that have been on campus for a long time. That's especially the case for State, but I was happy to see Shapen got selected, and the other two were just kind of toss-ups in my mind.
All right, so let's start with Blake Shapen. Blake Shapen, transfer quarterback, obviously from Baylor, and we have talked about him a couple of times before we broke off solo on Cowbell Corner. Let's dive into Blake Shapen, because now we are solo on Cowbell Corner, and people may not have heard those episodes before. So I want to get your thoughts on Blake Shapen's selection from Baylor out of the transfer portal and really how the quarterback room looks at Mississippi State, because to me, this seems like a pretty clear indication that, all right, I know he's a transfer, but Blake Shapen is our guy. You got Chris Parsons as well in the room, but it's a pretty clear kind of indicator that Blake Shapen is the man to lead the Bulldogs in 2024.
Yeah, whenever he signed out of back in December with State out of the transfer portal, I think it kind of went under the radar. I think State fans and everybody just kind of was hoping that Dylan Gabriel, maybe State had a chance to get him with the Lebby connection. So it kind of flew under the radar. But, I mean, he's a solid pickup, won the Big 12 his freshman year. He's struggled being healthy, and I think Lebby understands that, and he kind of made a point in the portal to improve the offensive line, so hopefully he can keep him healthy. But I think it's a clear indicator that he's going to start, and I think that's kind of always been the case. When you brought him in, he's going to start. But State's quarterback room is pretty talented. Parson was I don't know if he was the consensus four-star, but he was a four-star on one of the websites coming out of high school, and Michael Van Buren, the freshman, was a consensus four-star. So I think there's talent in that room. But I think Shapen, you know, he'll get the edge because of the experience, especially experience in the Power 4 level. But I think it was kind of a foregone conclusion when he signed with State who's going to start. But I think him being selected for media days just kind of verifies that.
All right, so what do you see in Blake Shapen? Because you've probably looked at some of his Baylor tape, and you obviously checked him out at the Mississippi State spring game. He finished last season with 2,188 passing yards, 13 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. He ran the ball just barely, 29 rushing yard. Most of all, I mean, obviously sack yardage is calculated into that, but he had 4 rushing touchdowns as well last year for Baylor. Not really a good record though. 2-6 as a starting quarterback last year at Baylor. And now obviously I don't really think that wins are a quarterback statistic because there's a defense and a lot of other things that come into play. But what do you see out of Blake Shapen, and what's the expectation for him in Starkville in the first year under Jeff Lebby?
I think he just fits the offense very well from a skill set standpoint. He's every one of Lebby's quarterbacks, and he might not with Kamario Taylor, this might not continue, but all of his quarterbacks have kind of been smaller in frame, Corral, Gabriel, and all them quarterbacks are just kind of small frame and they're athletic guys in shape. And he didn't run the ball a lot, but from what I've seen, he can. He's athletic back there. Will Rogers did not run the ball much, but I mean, he just wasn't very athletic. I think Chapin's athletic enough to run the offense, and I think he's got a big enough arm. He showed that in the spring game. He's got a big enough arm to take them deep shots down the field. But I think the biggest thing that he'll bring to this team is just experience, because especially on the offensive side and the deep, well, and especially the defensive side, there's just not a whole lot of experience playing big time football. So I think the experience level will help him a lot. And I think his skill set just fits very well with Lebby's offense. And I think just the biggest key with him is staying on the field, because he has struggled with staying healthy throughout his career at Baylor.
All right, so let's put Blake Chapin on the shelf. We'll talk to him next week at SEC Media Days. That will be a lot of fun. Hopefully, I'm hoping to get a little bit of time with Blake Chapin, 3 minutes or so, and the rest of these Mississippi State fellas. Let's talk about Albert Reese IV. Albert Reese IV, offensive lineman, kind of plays a little bit of guard, a little bit of tackle, big old boy. But I'm looking at his resume, only one start. What do you think went into selecting Albert Reese as one of the three Bulldog representatives?
I think Lebby just kind of wanted to get – I think Lebby's an offensive lineman at heart, and I think he just wanted to bring a guy, an offensive lineman, with him to media days. I don't know why. I think that's just a feeling I have. He wanted to bring an offensive lineman, and – going down the line, I mean, the projected starters, McKaylin Pounders, Ethan Miners, Kobe Jackson, Marlon Martinez, they're all transfers. So I think he wanted to bring an offensive lineman, and I think he wanted to bring a guy who's been in state for a little bit. And Reese is projected to start this year, and you mentioned he's a big guy. The moment he stepped on campus here, I mean, he has an NFL frame, NFL body, and hasn't always translated the field, only one start, but I think he got most of the first team reps in the spring game. Pretty sure he did. But I think this year could be a breakout year for him. He's always had the frame, and everybody's always said, you know, he's going to be really good. But now it's, I think it's just his third year on campus. So, I mean, I think if he's got potential in there, it's time to show that he's got the potential to start. And I think the main reason they selected him was they just wanted somebody that's been in state for a little while besides just a transfer, because you already got one transfer going.
All right, so is there any concern, Jacob? You just outlined the future or the projected future of the offensive line. Is there any concern about having so many projected starters as transfers?
Yeah, it could be a concern. I think it was good that they got all these guys in before spring practice, so they can get spring practice under their belt to kind of build up their communication. Communication is obviously key on the offensive line, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think they're all talented guys. Ethan Miner and McKaylin Pounders were both all-conference guys in their respective conferences last year, and Jacoby Jackson played a lot at Texas Tech, and Marlon Martinez was kind of the sixth man on the LSU offensive line. So it could be worrisome, you know, having all that transition on the offensive line, since it requires a lot of communication. But I think it was big they got this spring going for them, and I think the offensive line could be a strength this year for State, as opposed to last year where it was kind of a weakness. So I think Lebby did a good job in the portal and picking up talented offensive linemen. I think it'll be a strength for State, but obviously, you know, they need to build up some camaraderie up there, and I think they did that in the spring.
All right, let's flip to the defensive side of the ball, because John Lewis is also representing the Mississippi State Bulldogs next week at SEC Media Days, and we're going to be excited to be there in Dallas, the Joe Gaither Show on Cowbell Country. We appreciate Jacob Bain hanging out with us. You can follow Jacob Bain on the Twitter machine at JacobBain10. You can follow all things Mississippi State at Mississippi State on SI, or right now at Cowbell Country. John Lewis, he's another guy. Been at State for a little bit of time, only three career starts. Why was John Lewis selected as maybe the defensive representative? Is he going to fill a captain's role? What was Jeff Lebby's thought process behind tapping John Lewis to go to Dallas?
I think it was kind of the same thing as Albert Reese. I think he just wanted some guys with experience at State for multiple years. I thought maybe DeMonte Russell would get the nod. He's another guy that's been in state for a while. But ultimately, John Lewis gets the call. And he spoke to the media several times during the spring as well. So obviously, that's somebody that the coaches view as kind of a leader of the team in a sense. And he was a highly recruited guy coming out of Germantown High School a few years ago. I think he was the consensus four-star, had a lot of expectations, but I think he hasn't really found his position in college. I think he's more of a this is what he did well in high school, and he's kind of got the frame for it. I think he's more of a pass rushing linebacker, kind of just rush the passer. And I think Coleman Hutzler, the new defense coordinator, will help him out with that. I think he's going to have a lot of linebackers rushing the passer, opposed to last year under Zach Arnett in the first year five. There was most linebackers that rushed the passer were up the middle, and Lewis is more of an outside linebacker. But yeah, I think it was the same thing with Reese with him. I think it was just a guy. He wanted a guy that's had a few years at State, and I think Lewis is a talented guy, so I think they see the potential in him. Maybe they're trying to instill some confidence in him by sending the media days, and hopefully that confidence will lead to success in the field.
Do you project, or do you think that he's going to take on a bigger role this year and maybe start all 12 games or be in the mix to start all 12 games?
He'll definitely be in the mix, and I think if State's going to be a good defense, I think John Lewis needs to be a big part of it, because the talent's obviously there. Obviously, it's been 3 or 4 years since he's been in high school, but, I mean, if you're a highly four-star rated kid out of high school, you obviously have some talent. So I think he would definitely be in the mix to start. He might start all 12 games, but if State's going to be a good defense, I think John Lewis needs to be a part of it in some way.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
So I'm looking at our lads, and that's really where I look for most of the depth charts, and they have both John Lewis and Albert Reese on the second string. Now, obviously, that's not scientific. That's not the be-all, end-all. But they project, you know, J.P. Purvis, Stone Blanton, and Ty Cooper as kind of your leaders. I just find it interesting, and same on the offensive line. They've got Leon Bell kind of ahead of Albert Reese right now. I just find it interesting that it seems like maybe Jeff Lebby has selected a little bit of these maybe developmental players or role players to go to Dallas. Is that an off-base perception, or am I missing something there?
I think that website I'll use it a lot as well, but, I mean, I think in my mind – maybe this is the wrong way to look at it, but in my mind, if you're bringing in the media days, you have a strong inclination they're going to start, and you think they're going to do well for your team. Because, I mean, if not, I mean, if you're not going to send starters, why don't you just send anybody who's good at speaking to the media?
So sure.
I think both those guys are projected to be starters, but I could definitely see a world where they don't start. You mentioned Leon Bell. He's another guy who got a lot of first-team reps in the spring game. Pretty impressive, has a nice frame. I think he's about 6'8", 320 pounds, something like that. But like another guy, he's a JUCO guy, so he's only been at State for a couple of years. So I think the main thing he wanted to do was, because Shapen, obviously this is his first year at State, but he's a quarterback, so you want to bring him. But I think they just wanted guys with experience at State instead of just transfers. And I think the fact that he's bringing the media days, he has a pretty good idea that those guys will start.
All right, we're hanging out with Jacob Bain of Cowbell Corner. You can find him at Mississippi State on SI. We're talking about Albert Reese, Blake Shapen, and John Lewis, the three Mississippi State representatives for SEC Media Days next week. All right, those three are the selections, but let's make Jacob Bain the head coach. Let's make Jacob Bain in charge. If those three guys weren't the choice, and you've thrown out a couple of good names, and you can go back to them if you want to, if those three guys weren't the choice, who are some honorable mentions that should have been considered to represent the Bulldogs?
I guess you can go to Monte Russell. He's been at State for a while, and he's kind of a good ambassador. He's been at State for a while, played in a lot of games. His younger brother, Dante Russell, he was all SEC freshman team last year. He could be a guy. Let me think of an offensive guy. You could send Kelly Akari, maybe. He had a big spring game this year, and he was a big pickup out of the transfer portal. So if I had to pick three guys, I would say maybe Dante Russell, Kelly Akari, and maybe Stone Blanton. He's a transfer. He's a Mississippi kid, though, and he played at South Carolina last year, so he has SEC football experience.
All right, so next week we're going to hear from Jeff Lebby up at the podium. If you get one question, I'll be out there on your behalf, so you can let me know. What would be your big question to Jeff Lebby up at SEC Media Days?
I don't know if you'll ever get a good answer from Coach, but I'm always curious to see what their expectations are. What would be a successful season for him? Obviously, everybody wants to win the national title, win the SEC and stuff like that. But I'd love to know what his realistic expectations are for this year and what would be a successful season by his standard. I think that would be something I would like to know. I don't know if you'd ever get a real answer out of a coach, but I would like to know that.
Of course, you're always going to get a little bit of coach speak, and you got to kind of parse your way through the coach speak. So, Jacob, we're going to put you on the spot. I just asked you, Coach Jacob Bain, it's your first year, Jeff Lebby. What would be a successful season for Jeff Lebby? For you, if you were answering that question for Jeff Lebby, what do you think would be a realistic answer? Obviously, you've got the, we want to make the playoff, we want to beat Ole Miss, we want to get to win the SEC. But really, what would be the answer for you?
From a non-win-loss perspective, I would just positive signs, because, I mean, last year was obviously, it was really bad. But I think it's just positive signs in the right direction. If you can just kind of leave fans saying, because they got a tough schedule. If you can leave fans saying, like, man, we only won six games this year, but we just looked so much better this year than we did last year. And from a wins and loss perspective, I would say seven wins would be good. Six wins and a bowl game, or seven regular season wins and you lose a bowl game. But I think seven wins would be a successful season for State in the first year. Granted, the offense plays well. I think that's the big thing with Lebby, is you want the offense to look good. But if State wins seven games, the offense will have to be good.
All right, so we're hanging out with Jacob Bain, and we're about to wrap it up right here. We appreciate everybody watching us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. You're checking us out at Joe Gaither 6 on your favorite social media machine. You're checking us out at The Joe Gaither Show on Cowbell Country on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Amazon. We're kind of getting ready for SEC Media Days, but what, 2 weeks ago on the show, we had a big time kind of breakdown of Mississippi State recruiting. We went and looked at a lot of the class of 2025 guys that Mississippi State has brought in, and they're really doing a really good job in the class of 2025. But this past weekend, you wrote about it right there on Cowbell Country, July 4th, Mississippi State picks up a new quarterback, not in the 2026 class, but in the 2025 class. But the 2026 class, Michael Johnson becomes the fourth commitment to Mississippi State's class of 2026. So you get a quarterback, 6'1", 175 pounds. What do you know about Michael Johnson? And really, how does this tie into what we talked about 2 weeks ago, the new philosophy, the re-energized program behind Jeff Lebby?
This guy really wasn't on, he might have been on some people's radar, but he wasn't really on my radar. 2026 guys, you know, they're going to be juniors this upcoming year. So,
man, a lot of time.
It's just, Yeah, it's just crazy to think about these kids getting recruited like that. They're not even juniors in high school. But I watched his film right after he committed to state, and I mean, it was very impressive. He's very much right now, I think, an athlete playing quarterback. And that's not to say he's not a good quarterback. He's good, but I mean, he's got really good speed. I think somewhere they said he has like runs like a 4.3 40. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but he's a really good athlete, and he can move, and he throws in the run very well. And but yeah, I think it's a change in recruiting philosophy, because I mean, I think Levy is just, and it's the same with Michael Van Buren and Camario Taylor in 2025 class. I think he wants a dynamic athlete at quarterback, which is kind of something that a lot of programs have, but maybe states lack that at times under Leach, Arnett, and Moorhead. But under Mullen, they had dynamic athletes, but they're more physical than just, you know, speed guys. Guys like Nick Fitzgerald and Dak, obviously more physical runners. But this guy's, from what I've seen, he was if I can put any label on him, I would say Johnny Manziel. I'm not saying he's that good. He's obviously, I don't know if he's that good, but I'm saying like build, his play style, and his ability to throw on the run and his athleticism. But he was a really solid pickup. I think he's rated a 3-star. He's not rated on every side, but I think he's rated a 3-star. But I could easily see him being a 4-star when it's all said and done.
All right, let's get you out of here on a little Dak Prescott. How much are you paying attention to Dak Prescott now that he's in the NFL? And really, are you looking and keeping up with his, walking boot, foot injury, ankle injury, getting ready for next season to lead the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, yeah, I keep a little Dak. I watch every Cowboys game. It's just I think the Cowboys picked up a lot of fans in Mississippi when Dak went to the Cowboys. But I saw that picture on Twitter the other day, and I said it was kind of a precaution thing. I remember when he was at Mississippi State, and back in the day, there would always be people like, well, Dak's wearing a walking boot today on campus. You know, is he hurt? I think it's more of a precaution thing back then. I don't know what it is now. But, yeah, I keep up with Dak often. I watch about every Dallas Cowboys game.
Todd Archer of ESPN reports that it is pretty much he put out a tweet about an hour ago. Dak Prescott said the reason he was wearing a walking boot after some soreness developed in his surgically repaired right ankle following two hard workouts. He was just being cautious as he was going on a vacation, but does not anticipate it being an issue when camp begins. So I think everything's going to be all good. He's a tough son of a gun, and I'm excited to watch him continue his NFL career. Jacob, why don't you tell
us? I got one question for
you. Oh, please.
Oh, no. I thought you were done. I was just going to ask, I saw it on Twitter yesterday. How do you really think Alabama fans will react if they go 8-4 this year?
Well, I think they won't be very happy, obviously, and that's what's going to be the subject of my show here in a little bit on Bama Central. We'll probably do that around 2 or 3 o'clock. But I think that the insinuation that Alabama fans will run Kalen DeBoer out of town is unfounded. I think that's very silly. Now, will they be happy? No, they won't be happy. They'll say, okay, that was your first year, and this needs to be the floor. But I don't think they'll run him out of town. I think they'll be just disgruntled in the offseason and wanting better results in 2025. But I don't think it'll result, you know, because the whole premise was, Brandon Walker basically saying, oh, Alabama's going to lose 3 games and they're going to run DeBoer out of town. You always have the section of the fan base. I know Mississippi State has a small section of the fan base as well that says, oh, you know, the first sign of trouble, fire that guy, fire that coach. You're going to have that same sort of section of the Alabama fan base the first time that Kalen DeBoer loses a game. And I don't think I don't think an undefeated season is in the cards for Alabama. I don't think an undefeated season is in the cards for any SEC team this year. I think all 16 SEC teams will have at least one loss at the end of the year. Now, how many, you know, will it be one, or will it be 5? Will it be 7? Who knows? But I do think that there will be at least some semblance of patience in the first year.
Oh, wow. That's good to know. I was just curious what you thought about that, because, I mean, I've never experienced Alabama as high as an excitement, but I know how crazy the LSU fan base of the world, the Auburn fan base of the world, and, I mean, I'm just going to kind of assume Alabama's got a high standard for a coach. But, I mean, I've never seen what they were like outside of Nick Saban, so I have no idea.
Well, that will be the subject of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central about 2 o'clock or so, and I can't wait to get into it. We'll break down what will be the worst-case scenario for Alabama this season, and if the worst-case scenario hits, will Kalen DeBoer see year number two? That'll be kind of the premise of my show. I appreciate you asking me that, Jacob. What do you think about what you're going to be working on between now and next Wednesday? Obviously, next Wednesday is the 17th, and that will be Mississippi State Day in Dallas. So you will be inundated and very, very busy for Cowbell Corner and on Mississippi State on SI. What will you be working on between now and next Wednesday?
I'm going to try to dive into the stats and really dive into old and Levy offenses and what the quarterbacks did and see if – and just try to figure out if Shapen can replicate the kind of same kind of success that Dylan Gabriels and Matt Corrals of the world have had under Levy in his first year. So that's – I think that's what I'm going to do and just kind of dive into the numbers and see what Levy does and see if Shapen, you know, kind of is that perfect fit. Like, you know, I think he did an interview with somebody from On3. I can't remember who. But I think he had a lot of high praise for Shapen and said he's done really well. So I was kind of diving into the numbers on that and see kind of what Shapen could do in his first year.
Well, it's going to be exciting. You guys need to read about it at Mississippi State on SI. You got to check him out at JacobBain10 on the Twitter machine. And we'll check it back in with you next week when we're out in Dallas, Jacob. But we'll probably try to do it on a Thursday after Mississippi State finishes up, but so we can react to some of the interviews and things that we heard, and you'll be very busy anyways on Wednesday, so I'm very excited about that. We'll catch up with you next week, Jacob.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's Jacob Bain joining us on Cowbell Country right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Cowbell Country. You're checking this out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on Amazon. We appreciate everybody who's downloaded, rated, and reviewed the show. The Mississippi State faithful have been filling in the second most listens and downloads behind the Alabama folks on the Bama Central site. So really, really appreciate you guys at Mississippi State on SI checking us out each and every week. I appreciate Jacob joining us, and we cannot wait for this football season. Next week is SEC Media Days, and hopefully we'll have just a little bit of time with Blake Shapen, John Lewis, and Albert Reese next week in Dallas. For everybody watching us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, I appreciate you guys so, so much, and we'll talk to you next week right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Cowbell Country.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.